This is Vision for Christ, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. When I think of Jesus, I see many different aspects of who he is. A baby born in an animal shelter, the Christmas scene. I see a miracle worker supernaturally healing a paralyzed man. And also the scene where Jesus miraculously fed 5,000 people from a sack lunch. These and other miracles are great, to be sure, but the greatest miracle of all is when Jesus, the creator of the universe, allows himself to hang in shame on a criminal's execution cross to take upon himself my sin and the sins of anyone, anywhere, who places their complete faith and trust in Jesus to redeem them from hell and sending them to heaven when they die. Today on the broadcast, I will go through some gospel highlights in the life and ministry of Jesus. But first, I'll have a word with my Father. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. Our ministry website is www.visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.visionforchristworld.com/contact, no matter where you live. What at first appeared to Joseph, who was engaged to be married to Mary, as pregnancy resulting from adultery with some other man, is instead revealed to be a unique, one-of-a-kind pregnancy to bring Jesus, God in the flesh, into the world to bring eternal salvation for all those who would believe. Mary did not commit adultery, but naturally, when Joseph learned she was pregnant and he had not had sex with her, he was upset, but still wanted to be kind to Mary. Here again is that wonderful Christmas story of how God became a man. Matthew 1:18-25 reads like this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ happened this way. While his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband-to-be, was a righteous man, and because he did not want to disgrace her, he intended to divorce her privately. But when he had contemplated this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This all happened so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord told him. He took his wife, but did not have marital relations with her until she gave birth to a son, whom he named Jesus. The next scene, the aspect of Jesus that I want to look at, is the healing of the paralyzed man in Luke 5:17-26. Now, on one of those days, while he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting nearby who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then, some men showed up carrying a paralyzed man on a stretcher. They were trying to bring him in and place him before Jesus, but since they found no way to carry him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the roof on the stretcher, through the roof tiles right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven. Then the experts in the law and the Pharisees began to think to themselves, Who is this man who is uttering blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their hostile thoughts, he said to them, Why are you raising objections within yourselves? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say stand up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, stand up, take your stretcher, and go home. Immediately he stood up before them all, picked up the stretcher he had been lying on, and went home, glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God. They were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen incredible things today." Okay, and now we jump over to Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 22, describing the feeding of the 5,000 people, that miracle of provision for the needs of people. Jesus asks his disciples then to define who Jesus is. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew privately to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds found out, they followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and cured those who needed healing. Now the day began to draw to a close, so the 12 came and said to Jesus, "Send the crowd away, so they can go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and food, because we're in an isolated place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people." Now about 5,000 men were there. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." So they did as Jesus directed, and the people all sat down. Then Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. He gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied, and what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets full of broken pieces. Once when Jesus was praying by himself and his disciples were nearby, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist." Others say, "Elijah." And still others, that one of the prophets of long ago has risen. Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." But Jesus forcefully commanded them not to tell this to anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and experts in the law, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then we'll jump over to Luke chapter 23, verses 32 and 47. Jesus forgives one of the 2 criminals dying on a cross on either side of Jesus. 2 other criminals were also led away to be executed with Jesus. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. But Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Then they threw dice to divide his clothes. The people also stood there watching, but the leaders ridiculed him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanging there railed at him, saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other one rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we rightly so, for we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, because the sun's light failed. The temple curtain was torn in 2. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And after he said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he praised God and said, "Certainly, this man was innocent." Next, let's go a little bit later in the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 to 20. This shows what God has done for believers in Jesus and reveals yet another aspect of who Jesus really is. "God delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For all things in heaven and on earth were created in him. All things, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and all things are held together in him. He is the head of the body, the church, as well as the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself may become first in all things. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in the Son, and through him to reconcile all things to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, through him whether things on earth or things in heaven. And then from the New Testament book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, this gives us another aspect of who Jesus is and what he did for people. Jesus Christ, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave, by looking like other men, and by sharing in human nature. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As a result, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins. Honestly, sincerely repent. To have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio, FM local area radio, as well as on shortwave radio. Our new website address is www.visionforchristworld.com. Our website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Just click on Programs at the top of the page. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address is www.visionforchristworld.com. And search our Facebook page as Vision for Christ World. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Now Jesus performed many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.